From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Finland is the happiest nation again, probably because there's nobody there. Right?
That's what wrecks my day, people.
Nobody's there. So they don't have to, you know, hell is other people. That's what I've always said. I've said it for years. Someone should write that down. It's a great quote. The U.S. is having a very hard time with happiness. I find this to be hard to believe, being that President Trump is coming back to town. Thankfully, we've got Mr. Bob Rivers from a bunker 20,000 feet below Henderson, Nevada, that he dug by himself using popsicle sticks. Did you know that?
And then he used them to shore up the roof.
He did.
So smart.
Thousands of popsicle sticks.
And energy friendly, too.
Mr. Rivers, how are you today, my friend?
Well, they weren't popsicle sticks. They were actually silverware that I always get, even if I don't need it at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, I forgot about that detail.
And little ketchup packets to keep me going along the
hydrated,
way.
Hydrated.
So, so, Bob, before we get into the happiness scale, because America's happiness score dropped amongst a youth midlife crisis. Spike said you want to talk about EVs. We had EVs on the show sheet, and I hate talking about EVs because every time we talk about electric vehicles, I feel like I begin to lecture about cobalt, which is maybe the most boring. We talk about lithium mining and all this other stuff, but I know that you're a big fan of EVs and you exclusively
and
drive.
And when you're complaining about cobalt and you're texting of how evil all this mining is, you're doing it on your smartphone that has all the same minerals.
What? No, I didn't realize my own hypocrisy was right in front of me.
Bob, his cell phone is diesel powered.
Yeah.
To be completely transparent.
It's like a start up like a generator.
But you know what? That's a really good point, because that's what happens to every discussion about pollution or the environment or conservation. Or dare I say, recycling.
Yes.
It's because people start to weigh, well, those trucks that are carrying my bottles back to the recycling place are going.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing about us humans is, yes, we are negative impact on every part of the planet that we touch with every single thing that we make. But we try to get better, right?
Yeah, but EVs, Bob, so Biden basically is doing this thing where he wants everybody to have an EV. He wants to do what they're doing in California, where I think it's 2035, you will not be able to buy a diesel or gasoline-powered vehicle in the state of California. You're going to have to.
Not buy a new one.
Not buy a new one.
Right, not buy a new one.
Not going to take away your 68 Impala.
Right, but every.
Which is going to actually improve your car values, used car people.
Right, yes. I don't think what people understand is that kind of restriction on what mode of transportation people can have is not only is it wildly unpopular, it's also wildly inefficient. Have you guys seen the lines to charge your EV outside of a Whole Foods? I mean, you got
to. No, I've never had to stay in line ever once, but I know that that has happened, and when it does, someone there is there to take a picture of it. So,
yes.
But spread that. Look at the line.
Yeah.
But because I've had a Tesla for almost 2.5 years. The only work I've ever had done on it is I paid to put air in the tires. And then I bought one of those things that I didn't have to pay anymore. But here's the thing about, and by the way, I have a lot of questions.
Gas stations, no, Bob.
Are you antiquated?
Yeah. Used to be, yeah.
Are you serious? I don't drive a car anymore. You have to pay for air? This is breaking news.
I never thought I'd say pull my finger, boomer, to you. But yes, it's been a long time. So here's how I feel about it, and let me know if this makes any sense. Politicians talk about this transition, and we're going to require this by then. And what they're trying to do, I think, is activate their base and get the credit for being pro-EV. But in my experience with EVs, just about everybody I know is seriously entertaining buying one now. And several of my friends who were holdouts are buying them. So could it be that these numbers are going to get close to there by then just based on the free markets and we have some political grandstanding? I don't know.
I have an embarrassing story about test driving an EV, if you guys want to hear it.
Did you wreck it?
Well, okay, so
that's embarrassing.
So basically, there's this very expensive outdoor mall slash apartment, what, you know, five star type thing. It's called Santana Row in San Jose, California. It's the kind of place where like Zuckerberg and Bezos go when they want to go to the Tommy Bahama and spend $500 on a Hawaiian shirt. You know what I mean? Really, you got, you know, Lambos and Ferraris are driving around. It's very foo-foo. It's very, you know, people walking around with mink coats and stuff like
that. Okay, I just got back from there. Could you stop targeting me with these insults, please?
So,
Good friend, he said.
They have a Tesla dealership that's there, but it's not like a Tesla. It's not like a lot. It's like an Apple store, basically, where they have the cars that are there, and you can, and then you say, well, I want to test drive this one. And then the chauffeur goes and gets it from the parking lot, drives it around to the front so everybody can see you getting in said Tesla, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'm out with Sarah, and I'm trying to be, you know, oh, look at me, Mr. Moneybags or whatever. We're basically having a fun time hanging out with all the rich people, you know, drinking $18 lattes and all this other stuff. So I say, let's test drive one of these Teslas, these one of these overpriced go-karts, basically. Mm-hmm. And Sarah's like, you're not really the best at driving. And I go, listen, Sarah, sure, you know, 6-7 wrecked cars, who's counting at this point in time, right? I mean, let's just admit that I can.
How much damage can I do? It's electric.
I'm like, it's electric. It's going to be fine. It's going to be no problem whatsoever. It's a four-door sedan Tesla. Uh-huh. I get in the driver's seat. Sarah gets in the passenger seat. Sales guy gets in the back. The very first thing I do when I pop it into drive, I don't realize that on a Tesla, you just have to tap, right? In order to get it to go. You just a little tap, and then it just starts moving, right? So I'm driving like a stick, basically. I put my foot all the way.
Yeah, where's the clutch?
So we go up onto the curb before I hit the brake, and the guy goes, yeah, so maybe your wife wants to drive the car.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's so that's an adjustment. The acceleration and the torque. I'd say the most dangerous days in an electric vehicle's ownership of the car are the first few days because, and all of them, by the way, this is not about Tesla anymore because there's some fine offerings from, Hyundai, the Ioniq 5 and the 6 are proven to be great cars.
And find sponsors of the Jack and Spike radio program.
Let's get them on board.
Are they really?
I wish, but I love what you're doing here.
I'm kidding.
I see. But anyway, so what I was saying, which you ignored, but I appreciate that. I see that happen on Meet the Press every week, is that
he's good at this.
Electric cars are getting more popular. It's like, hey, Spike, do you remember when Joe bought a new TV at Costco?
Sure.
And it was one of those big cathode ray picture tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, boy, did I get a good deal on this, you know, I think
this
big
coffin
was
with a picture on the front, basically, right?
Yeah. And he was like, boy, did I get a good deal. And I said to him, they're all going to be flat screens in 5-10 years. And he was like, no way. And because then the first flat screens came out and they were like $10,000. And if you were a Microsoft guy, you went over to Magnolia and you got it. So electric cars are the cheapest things to make. They have a huge profit margin. And from the day you buy it, it spits out zero emissions. But really, people will buy it because it's a bargain. People will buy it because if they figure out it takes $12 to fill up in electricity. They'll buy it because the batteries will get better. You know, remember the first iPhones? Remember the first smartphones
where
you had
charge.
To take the case off and replace the battery.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always look at anytime people talk about technology and go, well, this just doesn't work. The first computers had the blue screen of death all the time. And yet we were like, what?
The Xbox 360 had the red ring of death is what we used to call it.
Yes.
First cars, you had to get out front of it and turn a crank.
Yeah.
And people with horse were saying, I'll never buy one of those tin Lizzies. You have to crank it up and hurt your shoulder. They'll never catch on, I say, never. But we grow. So, we make progress.
So when I read this story, I thought, it's a political tug of war of taking credit for what's going to happen anyway. And it's a question of how long it'll be. But, you know, there's talk of a Chinese electric car that's going to be $10,000. Our electric cars, as they build out the infrastructure to build them, they will get less expensive. Let me ask you this. If you had to pay twice as much for a gas car and four times as much to fill it, would you test drive an electric car again?
I don't think I should be allowed behind the wheel of a car ever again.
Car.
I'll be honest with you, Bob. My history with cars is kind of like Hunter Biden's relationship with crack. It's not good.
You love him?
I really.
You can't say no to him?
It's a mutually destructive type of relationship.
There you go.
Sure. So, Bob.
His present day relationship or his past relationship?
His past relationship. Right. Okay. So, happiness is, they do the scale of happiness every single year. So, usually rolls out sometime February, March. And they try to figure out, well, who's the happiest countries on earth? We know that this is last year's metrics because Israel is number 5 in terms of the happiness metrics, which I think after October.
Maybe
last year. Yeah.
Probably went pretty bad. But Finland's number 1, Denmark number 2, Iceland number 3, Sweden number 4. Again, that's because nobody lives there. And then the United States is number 23 on that list. That's sliding down, by the way, from its previous position from 15th. To 23rd. So,
but on the list of easiest countries to break into, we're moving up the chart.
Yeah,
there you go. Way to find the bright side
Bob
of things.
There with the political jokes. Jeez, Bob, leave the political jokes for us.
From a guy who lives in a border state, I'm just saying.
Yes.
So, my thought about this, Bob, and let me kind of, you know, go down the nihilistic wormhole for 2 seconds here. But what one of the reasons why I think Americans aren't as happy is because we don't have a fixation or a drive or a motivation to be fulfilled. Humans, we have a fixation on consumerism. And so if you look at countries like Norway or like Sweden or like Finland or whatever it is, you have people who the very concept of happiness and wellness is baked into the culture. What does it mean to live a fulfilling life? What does it mean to have good neighborly relationships? So on and so forth. Whereas in the United States, that's flipped. And we say, who's got the new TV with the cathodes in it versus who's got the TV that's flat? And so we basically are in this cycle of keeping up with the Joneses, and we will, of course, never be happy as a result of that. That's the way that I see this, Bob.
Spike, I'm curious. What do you think?
I think we've been divided to the point where we don't like each other very much anymore. It makes it hard to be good neighbors. I think that's a portion.
As I was listening to Jack talk, I was thinking you were going to take the political divisiveness is part of it. I kind of agree with both. I think America, as you know, remember after 9/11, we were encouraged to see something, say something, but in the meantime, go out there and spend your money and consume.
Yeah, go
see something, buy something. Yeah. That's what. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that part of it, I think that Jack is right. We're so into our highest standard of living in the world that we're competitive with each other, even to achieve as much of it as we can. Does politics play into it? Yeah, I guess. How about healthcare? I mean,
well, that's funny because
those are not the countries that are mentioned when you try to put up bad examples of national healthcare. So that might make there's probably a bunch of different factors that might make them a little happier.
You're talking about Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, the Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland. These are all in the top 10, and they've all got universal health care. Yeah. They're all taxed.
Where's
at
the Canada? Blame Canada. Where is Canada? Are they below us?
It doesn't say. It gives us the top 10, then us at 23, and then falls down to Afghanistan
the whole middle
at 143.
Out. You know, yeah, I was thinking Hades is somewhere in the middle before.
Not this week.
Not this week. I just think there is a real, basically as a society, we don't focus enough on what does it mean to be fulfilled or a well human being, to the point where, Bob, I went to an AA meeting. Did I tell you about this? I went to an AA meeting for the first time in 10 years. Friend of mine invited me.
No kidding.
To
oh, yeah.
Friend
yeah.
of mine
I still occasionally will darken that door.
Right.
Yes.
A friend of mine invited me, and out of courtesy, I said, yes, I will go with you to it, because they are early in their, you know, stages.
And that's why
whatever.
I go, too, is if someone wants me to go with them, then I feel like it's a lifelong, you know, gym club membership that I have to go and support them. Yes.
The problem that I had with it, Bob, was that it was all focused on sickness, and it was all focused on a spiritual hole that will never be filled. And it was all focused on this I'm in some way, shape, or form permanently damaged. None of that prayer was the only way out of that. And what I found so disturbing about it was that no one was talking about wellness. No one was talking about what it means to have joy or to elicit joy in one's life. It was like, well, I pray so I don't drink, and I fly off the handle. But there was no discussion around what does it mean to spark joy in one's life. And it saddened me, Bob, to see that. And I think that's emblematic of what's going on in the United States.
But, I mean, did they duct tape your mouth, or could you have done those things?
I spoke about it.
Did you say how great your life is since you got clean and sober?
No, so what I said
that's
was...
That's what you
gotta
do.
This is what I said.
Show pictures of your guitars.
Is these guys are all talking about having a big old hole in their lives and being miserable. And I said, I found that hole in my soul, and I thanked it. And then I built a garden on top of it, and I sealed it because I don't view it anymore as a thing that I need in my life, right?
Cool.
Right? So it was a very kind of poetic, very flower way of talking about it. And what I get from these alkies, look, they're like, who's this? Okay, Ram Dass, get out of here, guy. You know what I mean? Like, they were all so... Like,
they're still too fresh.
I would only...
Pain was fresh.
I would only say one thing to you. It was said to me, keep coming back.
Yeah,
and when I walked out, I was like, I think I was just insulted.
Mr. Rivers, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much for dropping by.
A pleasure. Always.
Mr. Bob Rivers, phoning in from a bunker 20,000 feet below Henderson, Nevada. You can go to bobrivers.com. Bob, you got podcasts coming up? You got any new projects you're working on, my friend?
I think he's gone.
We lost Bob.
Wow.
I don't even get to throw Bob a sweet promo. Why can't I throw Bob? I love Bob. Why would...
And you could send him a promo now. He just won't be here for it.
I'm sure he's listening right now, and I'm sure he's saying, dang it, I shouldn't have signed off so fast.
I know he's putting a lot of time in with his movie about his Alan White tribute movie from the live show we did last fall.
That's
when he's been working on most. We did a podcast a couple weeks ago. I jumped on with him and some other friends.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
He lets you still podcast.
He does.
With...
He lets me get in there and
so sweet.
Make stupid sounds and voices for him. I'm still a trained monkey.
So we'll take a really quick break when we get back. There is this new trend that's happening with quizzes where every website is now asking their audience for a quiz. Their audience to participate. Yeah. And so I found it. We understand that, like, Como News does it. We understand that, like, BuzzFeed used to do it all the time. But I stumbled across one that is a website that you would not suspect. And I think what's going on here is that media outlets are starting to have a very difficult time maintaining an audience. So they got to funify. Oh. They got to make it funsies to engage with the news, right?
Okay.
And this quiz, some people are saying, like, why do I want to listen about this quiz? Because it's hilarious. Because it's from an organization that you would have never have thought would have done this kind
of
thing. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. YouTube channel, Jack and Spike Show on YouTube. You can go and you can subscribe to it. We release content on a daily basis that's completely new content that you can't get anywhere else. You only get it there. It's digital content. We do it every day because too much news, not enough show. That's the motto there over at The Five. You ever know that about
Too much news, not enough show.
Too much news, not enough show, which is why they have to talk about squatting. They've been talking about the same story now for about 8 or 9 minutes because there was that rally, I guess, in Bellevue where people were saying no more squatting like a year ago or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so they got the footage from that. And now they're just playing it on repeat and they're like, no more squatting. And it's like, it's pretty bad. It's pretty rough. I agree with you. Maybe talk some policy, maybe a little bit. It'd be helpful to folks.
I thought about squatting. Actually, really? I thought, you know, it's funny because there's a house in my neighborhood that's a beautiful home.
It's called your house.
No. It's literally a stone's throw from my house. It's got a better view than I do.
It's called your garage.
It's sat empty for 12 years now. Empty. And
but
I thought
it's haunted.
Maybe
got ghosts in it.
Victorian
child in there.
I was thinking,
James, join us, James. We all float down here, James. Join us.
I was going to give it to my oldest as a wedding gift. Having to squat in it. Yeah,
it's a good plan. It's a good financial plan. Hey, speaking of, by the way, so we all know that media is taking a hit. News media is taking a hit. There's a lot of problems with people's relationship to the media because ever since the phrase fake news was introduced to the United States, basically we're all like running on fumes, right? Like no one really
question everything.
Question everything.
Trust nothing.
Trust nothing. Everything is a psyop. And so I was looking at Fox News today, trying to find some fun stories to talk about for the show. And I see this thing. It says American Culture Quiz. Test your command of music and film icons and more. And I thought to myself, I know music and film icons.
Sure do.
I'm going to click on this quiz. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wait a minute. This is indeed a ruse, a charade, right?
How do you mean?
I've been bivouacked.
How?
This is a caprice. This is a way for them to gin up the click-through rate on their website so that then when they go to potential advertisers, they will have elevated numbers. This is something that websites have done for a very long time, where each quiz that you take is a new page to load.
Right.
So when you click through it, you're showing advertisers, we got a 5 million click-through rate just on one story. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. Can you imagine 5 million eyes on your advertising, Mike Lindell? Your fine pillows being seen in front of...
your bunker in front of 5 million eyes.
5 million eyes.
Yeah, your gold bars.
But this is a really cheap way, I think, of trying to get people to engage with the news. Laura, you pointed this out, that this is, in fact, probably, likely, some consultant going around who's telling people...
that they should do that. I feel like I'm seeing this on every news site
right
these days, including our own.
Exactly, including our own.
It feels like a psyop.
It does feel a little disingenuous, right? Like, what was the quiz that I got mad about on the website? Do you guys remember that when I got in trouble? What was it? It was like a quiz about like death or something like that.
I don't remember.
There was some quiz that I got in trouble for talking about it. I don't remember what it was. But I was like making fun of how cringy it was to put a poll. It was a poll on...
polls are different.
It was... oh, you know what it was? It was the Manny Ellis thing. That's what I got in trouble for.
Right.
Because it was a poll on whether or not the officer
should be found guilty.
That's right. And I said that that was giga cringe and deeply inappropriate to basically gamify a murder trial, both for those officers and for Manny Ellis and his poor family. And the argument that I made was, can you imagine that Manny Ellis's poor family goes on the website to read a story about their deceased brother or their deceased son, and they see a fun poll that's put up there, and I just went
overwhelming
ballistic.
People vote to say those officers should be set free.
Right. Or, you know, that was my issue with it, is that we take these really complex ideas and we gamify them and we make them polls and we make them trivia questions or whatever it is. And then, in a sense, what we do is we make them not what they actually are. We're talking about whether or not three officers should potentially go to jail for the rest of their lives in the death of Manny Ellis. That's a really big deal. Hey, I got a fun idea. Let's do a poll, everybody. What do you think? Hey, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right, baby. Come on down. We're going to have a good time. You're going to win some baby back ribs, set of steak knives. You take this poll, big guy.
Remember yesterday's story about the homeless encampment being cleared up from the school?
Yeah, poll.
There was a poll.
There was a poll underneath it.
Should we clean up homeless encampments by schools or by community centers or by churches or by shopping centers?
Right, exactly. And this is what I'm saying is, I think that it creates a barrier between you and the actual subject matter that we're talking about, which is why people have such indifference, I think, to the suffering of other people, because we make it a fun game. We make it a fun quiz, or we make it out to be some kind of gamify, I think is the best way to put it. Right, Laura?
Buzzfeedification.
Buzzfeedification.
That's horrible. But we all love to feel smart. We all love to know, oh, I know who started Apple. I know who started The Godfather. I know what year the pony is. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So we click through page after page after page after page.
Right.
I'm 34 questions deep in this American culture quiz. Meanwhile, the guy selling avocados from California, he's getting 5 million clicks a day.
Exactly.
On the advertising. Well, it's disingenuous.
Well, I think that is one aspect of it. I think the other aspect we have of it as Americans is we are not connected to real stories in a meaningful way because we narrativize media. I say this as someone who works in the media machine, and I've been picked up by the machine, and it says, you are a special person. People will listen to your thoughts. The media machine, what it seeks to do is take very complex, very nuanced, very difficult ideas like the death of a human being. And it says, how do we make this fun and accessible for everybody? Right. How do we make this G-rated? How do we make it emotionally compelling? How do we make it so that people can see themselves in the story?
Right.
We talk about death and murder and destruction in the same way that movie producers talk about the next Marvel movie. How are we going to get people to see themselves in Aquaman? We have commercialized the suffering of human beings to such an extent that somebody thinks it's a big brain idea to put a poll up as to whether or not a murder trial should come out A, B, C, or D. That's a sickness. That's what people need to protest against. And I think that that's something that people shouldn't put up with, quite frankly, from their media, you know, consuming habits. No one should put up with
it. It's news as entertainment.
Yes,
which is a really tricky place to be, because news is competing with Netflix and
yes,
all of your favorite shows and TikTok and and then we get this.
Right, exactly. So I'm thinking that we all need to start being fun characters, right? So we can all make narratives about our lives.
Oh.
Like, I will be the scrappy young upstart drug addict who turned his life around through Jesus. Spike, you can be the deadbeat dad. Is that fair?
No.
What do you want?
I'm the over-doting father who solves every problem.
I like this.
And knows from experience.
Laura, do you want to be the sparky yet precocious young brunette who comes onto the show?
Of course.
Right.
What's Nate going to be?
Role of a lifetime.
Kind of Nate's role.
Nate can be the evil villain, I guess.
Oh,
and who's been, look at him there. He's polishing his glasses like he's some kind of sociopath.
He'll spin around in his chair any minute.
look at what Connors is doing. Nate, what character do you want to be in media? Because we're all making characters now, because it's not real. It's all fake.
Oh, geez. Now you put me on the spot. I have no idea. Who'd you say I was going to be?
I said you could be the evil villain.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Ah, I told you guys.
Agreeable yet deadly.
Agreeable yet deadly.
That's great.
This is, okay, so, and like, I think that when you watch Rachel Maddow, they talk about what's your brand, right? That's not actually Rachel Maddow. That's the character that she inhabits, right?
Really?
Yes.
Because I bought in completely to
that
one.
Well, it's the same thing with Carlson or the same thing with like Lemon or any of these other people.
Yeah, they're caricatures of who
it is. A percentage of your personality that you have diluted so that it's palatable to a certain percentage of the population. So when they consume you in the same way they consume raspberries or Twinkies, they either like or don't like. Right?
Yeah, you're right. They test the product out on a test audience.
The most insidious part of the media game is understanding who you are going to alienate, but will still engage with your content. Who are you going to bother, but they will still hate watch you. You have to think about it at that level. There are consultants who come in and they talk to the Carlson team and they say, okay, so these are the demos of people who don't like you, but they still watch your content. And these are the advertisers that would be best suited for those people. That's how atomistic it is.
Is that how he ended up in a cabin?
Yes.
Wearing flannels?
Yes.
So take off that tie, put on this tie, these suspenders on Tuesday. Big numbers, my friend.
Big numbers. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll take a really quick break when we get back. Panic buying during COVID was a thing. A certain subgroup of people bought this like weird thing that they only have in Europe, and it's life-changing. And I think Americans are gross, objectively. But you're we're once every 2 or 3 day bather, right?
Yeah, probably.
Laura, you only bathe once every what?
Every other day.
This is, God. Okay, we need to talk about Americans and their hygiene habits. And on top of
you and me in particular, Laura. Yeah.
Because people went out and they panic bought a certain product during the pandemic, and it changed their lives, according to the Seattle Times, when we get back right after this. Black Keys record, right? We can all agree on that. Right?
I don't know. I like this.
Laura, you know what I'm talking about.
Easy.
It's probably the best one they made, right? The production, so good. Does this have vocals on it, Andrew, or is it no
vocals? No, this is going to wrap up soon.
Okay, because the female backing vocal that is throughout this entire record is perfection. Literal, it's just amazing production top to bottom on this record. So, people panic bought bidets during the COVID thing, because everybody was worried about toilet paper, mm-hmm. because one person was like, there's a shortage of toilet paper out there. And for some reason, we all believed that person. Kind of like when someone was like, there's gold in them there hills. Everyone was like, well, I guess there is. I guess we go mining over there.
There's rolls in them there hills.
There's rolls in them there hills, y'all. So people went out and they bought bidets. And the thing that you learn about when you have a bidet, is that you realize that Americans are actually disgusting, by and large, because we are the only country, by and large, that doesn't use bidets on a regular basis. Laura, you've been overseas. You've traveled away from God's country. People use bidets, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, correct.
So why has Christ cursed us to not have bidets in America? Why isn't this a common thing that people use? Because
it's big paper. It's the big paper industry.
Ah.
They are keeping bidets from our shores.
This is very true.
I knew there was a lobbyist behind this.
There's a lobbyist behind, because in my professional opinion, all Americans, again, this is going to make me sound like an elitist. For some reason, Laura is only picking stories today that will make me sound like a complete and total elitist.
Well, we want you to feel good about yourself.
Well, but people are gross. Like, our hygiene is not good. The way that people treat themselves. Like, I just discovered that there was a thing last year called Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot, which is Mountain Dew combined with Flamin' Hot Cheetos, which was an actual product that was released in 2022, and people drank it, and it was the thing that people consumed because they enjoy Mountain Dew and Flaming Hot Cheetos, which is maybe the most disturbing thing ever. So here's a question that I want to juxtapose for people. We accept without question that there is a merger between Mountain Dew, which is poison, and Flaming Hot Cheetos, which is poison. We will accept that as a consumer good. But a bidet in every home is a bridge too far. That's what's wrong with this country. People are gross, and they are more than willing to buy Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew over a bidet, right? That's the argument that I'm making. Perfect sound logic, airtight.
Perfect logic, but they combined Mountain Dew with Cheetos?
Don't get fixated.
It's an unholy trinity.
It's an unholy trinity here. But the point that
explains the increase in bidet sales, though. Thank you. That was Laura's joke. Didn't mean to steal that from you, but that was your joke. That's a great joke.
It is a great joke. I just think that, like, you only shower once every other day, right? Once every 3 days?
Two, three times a week.
Right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
But Spike and I don't work out, and you do, and I think that changes things.
Okay, so here's the question, though. Why aren't you guys working out? Why aren't you guys taking care of yourselves? Why aren't you guys being active? Why aren't you guys being mobile, right?
That would destroy the effect of the Flaming Hot Mountain Dew.
No, but you get what I'm saying? Like, this is the thing, is that people are like, we, like, make excuses for our own suffering. I just don't understand why people do it. Like, everyone's like, oh, my back hurts. I'm like, well, let me show you a couple things you could do to loosen up their back. I can't do physical exercise. My back hurts.
I didn't say that.
What I'm saying is that people have these, like, weird things that there are little things that you can introduce into your life that will improve your life tenfold. Little teeny tiny things that make your life so much easier.
I'm there.
And yet people don't introduce these things
into their life. I want to live, Clarence. I want to live.
Exactly. But I just don't think that most people really fully understand how to take care of themselves. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that we have an educational course enough on how to actually maintain yourself. What's good hygiene? What's bad hygiene? Right. I'll give you an example. A lot of people have skin problems, dry skin. Sure. Ooh, my skin is bugging me all the time. They buy moisturizer, they buy lotion, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's because most people, you know that Kappa detergent that you're dumping into your laundry?
Yeah.
About an eighth of that is what you actually need. About an eighth of that. But because we soak our clothing in detergent, we then put it onto our skin. We absorb the residue of the soap, which then leads to people who have uncomfortable dry skin and they break out. They have acne problems because your body's trying to overcompensate, trying to push all that grossness out of your system. About an eighth of what you actually put into your laundry is what you need to clean your clothes, right?
We need to make a whole list of your advice. But I want my clothes to smell good. That's why I put a lot of detergent in there.
Right, but then you had skin problems, Laura?
No.
You don't have dry skin problems?
No.
You don't have any itchy skin problems? You don't have any of that kind of
stuff? I have a very expensive body moisturizer that I use.
Exactly my point. Your body makes a natural moisturizer, right? Your body is an amazing creation that can cure and heal itself, and we deny it that right by filling it with Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot Cheetos and not using bidets and using too much laundry to
Oh, this will be a great opportunity to talk about my foot fungus. Thanks for that. Andrew.
Perfect. Andrew, A+. Nate Connors. Dang, Nate Connors. What is that? A blue fitted tee you got on?
Well, just fitted around the belly.
Dang, Nate Connors. Back at it again with the fitted muscle tee. Put those guns away, Nate Connors. This is a place of work, my friend. That's brandishing in the workplace. Laura, A+. Spike, I'll give you a solid C today.
Thanks, buddy.
Solid C. Day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
So, have you met Bruce?
I met Bruce once.
It's on the home screen of his phone. It's not his wife. It's not his children.
No, it's not even my dog. It's
not
Bruce.
Even his dog. It's Spike meeting Bruce.
Of course I wept like a baby.